friends, call us Indy 101.5. Live from Hamilton.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air. Welcome back, or welcome if this is your first time. I'm Sarah Jessica. I'm a Hamilton-based music and arts journalist, and this is my show where I interview musicians, artists, and industry professionals about what it's like to work within the industry. And tonight, I'm hanging out with Nigel Stewart and Chad Chartrand of Captain Wildchild. They're two-thirds of the Hamiltonian punk band. You can find them online at NigStew and Chad period Chartrand and their band page at Captain Wildchild. And of course, you can stream their music on all streaming services under the same name. So, hey, guys.
Hey, Sarah.
How's it going?
That's going grand.
Just, you know, hanging out, talking to you.
Beautiful. Sounds fun.
Absolutely. I'm having the best time.
Fantastic. Did you want to plug your third member since he's not present tonight?
That is Samuel Tomlinson, the one and only. And he can be found on Instagram at sir.tomlinson.
There we go. Fantastic. Yeah. And just to kind of introduce you guys to everybody listening, how would you describe your sound and style as musicians? And you can describe that, you know, as singular musicians and then maybe your band as a whole.
Should we do individually? Well, and then as a group?
I mean, like, singularly, we have so many different styles, right? Like, I'm an educated musician. I went to college for it. I have a piece of paper kind of musician thing going on. But the other two were very, very self-taught and, like, learned all on their own growing up. So,
yeah, like, I don't really have very much theory, but definitely Sam is better at guitar, but he still doesn't know what the notes are.
Yeah.
But as a group, I would say that our sound can be described as aggressive, potentially ferocious,
but still catchy.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah. And who would you say are your biggest musical influences, maybe for you two personally? And then I guess who influences the band's sound?
Nigel?
Oh man, that's hard. Like on my own front, like I always grew up playing along to a bunch of punk stuff. Like I would just put my headphones on and Death From Above 1979 was like one of my favorite bands in high school, and I would play the records front to back, along with the drums, or also Taylor Hawkins, Foo Fighters stuff. But I was also one of the reasons I pursued music post secondary was Brian Chase of the Yeah Yeahs was another one of my favorite drummers, as well as Christopher Bear of Grizzly Bear. So like, it was like this weird jazz, punk, folk, jazz influence. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. That's definitely my biggest influences. What about you, Chad?
I'd say the two major ones that come to mind that like have been with me since I started playing music are definitely Kurt Cobain. He was a big one. And Jimi Hendrix. So I feel like I tried to meld the two where there's a little bit of aggressive angst, but mixed with like the theatrics of Jimmy.
Absolutely, yeah. And what would you say that you take from your influences? Would you say a lot of sound and style? Would you say their production? Would you say their stage presence? Who do you take? What do you take from each of them?
I would say probably not so much production. I feel like production is kind of something, maybe Nigel could speak more to this, but is something that you kind of figure out on your own. And it's mm-hmm. definitely individual to each group as to how they want to approach how they record their stuff. Mm-hmm. But for me, my influences are definitely just like how to perform and I guess how to play. Visually and also like sonically, but also visually as well. Nigel?
Can you ask the question again?
Yeah, I definitely can. What would you say?
There's so many facets to it. I'm really thinking hard about it.
Yeah. What would you say you take from those major influences of yours? Would you say it's mainly their sound and style, their production, their stage presence? You know, like what forms of their art do you take away from the most?
Definitely like playing style. When like two of the drummers I talked about, Brian Chase of the Yeah and Christopher Bear of Grizzly Bear, like Brian Chase, he was playing at least like the first like Fever to Tell, the first Yeah record. He was playing all sorts of super punky stuff, but with such a jazz influence, and I wanted that, and I tried to emulate that as best I could before I even like had any training. And that always stuck with me really, really, that just stuck with me. Deeply. It got right in there. Meanwhile, I bring it back to like Sebastian Granger drumming for Death From Above 1979. And that's just like groovy, punky dance stuff. You know, it's like you can mosh to it, but you can still dance to it. And mm-hmm. I think that's something that comes through a lot in our music. Mm-hmm. Given the way it is. But like production. No, before I get to that, honestly, I got to give a shout out to Animal from the Muppets for giving me my stage presence. Yeah, that's what I strive to be. I will never look as wild as he does, but one can dream.
Yeah, we tried to get him, but we couldn't get him, so we had to settle for Nigel.
Oh, right. I'm so sorry. Yeah. as for production, that's something that kind of developed for me just over the past few years. Big influences being like Tame Impala. I've always loved Kevin Parker's stuff. And between geeking out on that, but also having certain love for other music, like I grew up, like kind of developed a big musical identity right around like end of the 20-aughts, early 20-teens. And there was a lot of like stuff like Waves, Bass Drum of Death coming out around then. Mm-hmm. I was really into it. And I definitely can see how that stuff has stuck with me when it comes to, making stuff, but when I get the chance to record us, I definitely try to tap into some of that Tame Impala, and I just try to have some crazy layers going on.
Do you guys remember what you listened to as a kid, what was played around your house growing up, and do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Probably most definitely. Mm-hmm. My parents, I don't feel like they had a huge musical, they weren't overly musical, but, I just remember my dad starting to play me his like thrash CDs and stuff. and it was like totally different than anything that I've ever heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And then like also just like really digging it. So I remember back in the day, like hearing Metallica and like Megadeth and like Disturbed, and like really, really digging that. And yeah, that's all I can really remember.
Nigel?
Yeah, my early musical exposure. So I'm the youngest of three, and my oldest sibling, she's 8 years older than me. So, and my brother and my sister were always really into music. When I was growing up, it was around the like we just got a family computer right around the emergence of Napster. So that's a throwback. So I'm like 6 years old, and I'm getting exposed to all sorts of like late 90s, early 2000s R&B stuff from my sister. Meanwhile, my brother, you know, he's really getting into like System of a Down and stuff. So I'm just kind of soaking that up as a kid. And my mom loved Christmas music. She'd play Christmas music in every month of the year. And then my dad would have like...
That was a huge influence on you right now.
Yeah.
I can hear that for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I'm all about those jingle bells. What up? And my dad would always have like Genesis or Chicago on. So before I even formed my own musical identity, it was just so much stuff being thrown in my ears. But I definitely started to get into music at a younger age. I would always have all the family CDs on, but my very first CD I ever bought was Young and the Hopeless by Good Charlotte. I think I was 8.
Nice.
And then the second CD I bought is, I'm pretty stoked on this, but it was To the Five Boroughs by the Beastie Boys. And I was 9 when I bought that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm.
I was up late one night. And they were playing some award show. They did that Check It Out song, and seeing them come out, I was so stoked on it. And what was the end of that question?
Yeah. Do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Oh yeah, true.
100%.
Yeah.
How? I'm not sure, but sure. But it's in there somehow.
Totally. Yeah. How did you two first get into playing music? Did you start on an instrument? Did you start with vocals? How was that journey?
Nigel, we're gonna start with
you. You're gonna start with me. All right. It was one of those things, just like being little and seeing stuff. I was like 3 or 4, and I was just like, I want to play drums. I didn't even know what drums were. I just thought they were cool. And then my grandma died when I was young, and she had left some, my mom's mom died, and she had left some money. So my parents got each of us instruments. My sister got a violin. My brother got an electric guitar and an amp, and I got a drum set. So that's kind of how I started. And I took lessons when I was like 9 and 10, but after that, I just kind of played. I just played along with stuff and didn't take another lesson until I was like 18.
Mm.
What about you, Chad? How'd you get started?
Well, I started playing guitar. I got a guitar when I was 13 years old, and I was kind of fiddling around with it, mostly frustrated. But then my good buddy Tom started ripping really good on it, and I just had to be as good as him. So I started back up, and I was playing guitar, and then I was like, then I hit my teens, and I was like just watching a lot of, you know, rock and roll performances, and just thinking like, wouldn't that be amazing if I could do that?
Mm-hmm.
So I started practicing more and more, and tried singing and playing guitar at the same time. And yeah, and like started playing in bands when I was like 15. And then eventually I mean, Nigel was also playing in bands, and we were seeing each other's bands at, you know, community centers and stuff. And then we decided to hook up
Well, let's say we hooked up.
let's say we hooked up, and then the next night we decided to start playing music together. The rest is history.
Yeah, we're like both from the same small town. We're both from like Trenton, Belleville area, and it's actually music that brought both of us to Hamilton.
True.
Cool. Sort of like a bandmates with benefits thing, eh?
Yeah.
There's many benefits to being bandmates.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Anyone in a band who hears that is being like, yeah, there is.
Yeah, they get it.
we know you're listening out there.
Oh, totally. Oh, you know they are. Are there any instruments that you guys don't currently play that you'd love to learn?
I'd love to play the piano.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's manageable, but at the same time, I feel like it's most music starts on the piano, and it would just be, I don't know. I feel like my musical skills could be utilized a lot better if I had the understanding of that. And also synths are so cool.
Yeah.
And just a little bit of knowledge, I can make some fun sounds. Yeah. So I'm going to say that the keys.
Sweet.
Oh man, I want to, honestly, bass. I obviously do drums and I do piano as well. But like, if I could get like real good at something, it would probably be bass.
So then you could make drum and bass music.
There we go.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, I just, it's one of those things that as a kid, I never really had a concept of, and it was never on my mind. And as I've grown up with so much music that I love, I'm always super gravitated to the bass lines. And also, you know, being a drummer, I listen so closely to the bass. And just some bass grooves, when they're so good, they're one of the best things in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I would also love to
be
able to slap the bass.
Yeah. I'm going to extend this answer, though. And I would also love to get into, like, turntablism.
Mm-hmm.
Like you learn how to scratch a little bit, that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Soon you're just gonna be your own one man band.
Yeah, it's 2022. Anything's possible. I might as well start one now.
Yeah, begin that solo career. Yeah. No, it's a lot more fun to play with people.
Yeah,
totally. And were you guys confident from the get go when you started performing? And if not, when did that confidence begin and how was that journey for you?
I feel like I wasn't confident for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it probably took a couple of years for me to like get into the groove. Just because like live singing, first off, just like takes a lot of courage, I guess you could say. But also just like to sing for a half an hour, 45 minutes. And like in scream at the same time, it takes a lot of endurance. So it took me a while to like find the pocket where I like am confident that I'm going to nail all the notes the whole time.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like the singing portion, but I think we're there. I'm really digging what we're doing now.
Yeah. Also, I want to clarify: are you talking about with like us ourselves or like us as a band?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I guess if you're not confident with yourself, you probably won't be confident in the band. But I don't know. How would you say? What would you say?
I mean, you know, when you're learning anything new, it's like it's always a trip the first few times. So like, there's that side of things, and whether it's a new style or a new band, so. I think when we started playing, just like when we were a two-piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the record, when we started back in 2018 as just a two-piece, and we were like that for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm drawing this out. What was I going to say? I felt pretty confident when we played.
I feel like I was confident at the time.
Yeah.
You kind of need it, right? But
yeah. Then, you know, things go up and down as things changed. Sam came into the band and it was great. You know, I'm sure he was really nervous. He never really done bass before and look at him now. But he, you know, we guided him along, and then there were certain things with myself that I felt like up and down about with my confidence levels with performing. I look at us now and I'm like, this is definitely the most confident, the best I've felt of any musical project I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I also agree with you, Naj, but I feel like with any independent band, there's the swells of confidence where you're on a high note, but at the same time, it's yourself that pushes yourself forward. So it just, there's a lot of work that is put into a band. And when things aren't going our way, it can be kind of, it can be hard, especially, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think I ever felt like unconfident about our playing in COVID, but
it's like,
I just felt unconfident about all sorts of other things.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really happy we stuck it through. Because now I'm realizing there's nothing more I'd rather do.
So am I. Yeah. When did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't know if I ever really saw. So at a certain point, I knew, I wanted to do something with this. I don't know when that happened, but also I think in my mind, it was kind of always one of the only options.
Yeah.
Because I just was never able to see, or I never saw myself doing anything else. I never really wanted to do anything else. But also, it's funny because now that I'm trying to do that, you realize how many other parts there are to it. I feel like doing this has actually made me capable of doing so many other things just through what I've learned about, like,
yeah,
organizing and managing stuff.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like when Sam joined, I mean, as far as like a career, it's never been something that's been on my radar. I always kind of viewed music as like just this thing that you always want, but it's so hard to attain that it's hard to even like envision pursuing it as a career. But at the same time, I'm on the same page as Nigel, where it's like it's in our blood and it's like what we got to do. So we're trying it. I feel like we kind of hit that stride where we felt like this could be more than a hobby. Like when Sam joined and we kind of all clicked as a unit.
Yeah. When we got our voice together.
Yeah. Cause I don't know. I just feel like when I look at us three, like we look like a band and I feel like people think that too. Sorry, what was the question again?
When did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like I answered that bad boy.
Yeah.
But also just on that point, it's just like, it's when you decide that it's more than a hobby, you realize that there's so many intricacies and like business aspects to the whole thing that it's just It really starts to unfold as soon as you take it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. Like, so in your introduction, you say that you talk to, like, you know, you talk to bands, but also other industry professionals. So, like, what's some of the scope of people you've talked to, just like title wise?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah. I said that generally because I never really know week to week who I'm going to be talking to. But I'd say on here, I mainly talk to musicians, but I've spoken to people who work at labels, like artist managers. I've spoken to other radio hosts. I've spoken to, let's see, people who maybe work in like the legal side of the music industry. Let's see. Yeah, like a whole bunch of different people.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, as you know, as we start to pick up a little bit, and also like I'm taking the chance to educate myself right now, and I'm reading some books on music business. Like, oh my god,
yeah,
music lawyers, personal managers, artist managers. Which, I mean, we're not at that point yet, but then also like label reps, you yourself, radio, like you are a part of this industry. It's just, yeah, so many facets, insane, wild. And it's a little overwhelming sometimes when you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I bet you understand now why musicians have managers and staff and a whole bunch of people to do that stuff for them, right? Because it's so much.
Yeah.
What books are you reading?
There's the Donald Passman one, Everything You Need to Know About the Music Business, or All the Things You Need to Know, something like that. The 10th edition.
Wow, the 10th edition.
Yeah. Yep, the good old 10th edition.
Things keep on changing.
Wah, wah, wee, wah.
Do you guys remember when you were first like playing your own music, when you first joined your first band or you first performed solo? Do you remember that first, like, that first time you did that?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Thrilling. I played with a drummer, and I just played guitar. We played like 5 or 6 songs, and then I ended my set with Territorial Pissings, and then I jumped into my drummer.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How old were you when you did that?
I think it was like, no, actually, that wasn't the first time. But, like, okay, that was the first time I sang, I guess. Maybe that's why I was thinking of that.
Was that the first conversation? Okay.
Yeah, I think I was probably
like 19.
Okay. But were you confident in doing that?
Was I confident in doing that?
Yeah.
No.
No?
I was so unconfident that I forgot my guitar and my and my drummer had to drive back and get it.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of important.
Yeah, it's pretty important in a 2-instrument band.
Yeah. I mean, like at 19, that sounds like you're doing a lot of bold stuff on stage, right? Like,
like what? What do you think?
You know, jumping into your drummer and stuff. Like, was that? Do you feel like that? Because I hear that and I think, oh, you must have had some confidence. But do you think that that was maybe like adrenaline?
Oh, like, adrenaline, 100%.
Yeah.
It wasn't even really planned. I was like, go 100%.
Yeah. And what about you, Nigel?
So like the first time I played music with anybody at all was, I was 12. I was in grade 7. My grade 7 teacher, he played guitar and he brought a drum set. And he was just trying to show us a little something about music. And he played guitar and I knew a little drums. So I hopped on and played something with him. We just played for like a minute or two. And it was the very first time I'd ever done that with anyone. And it was like, it was I remember being terrifying, to be honest. I look back at it and I'm like, oh no, like I held it down like for it being my first time playing with someone, but it was like, whoa. Shout out Mr. Lombardi. Who knows if I would have been playing music if it wasn't for that.
Go Big L.
Yeah. The very first time, other than that, that I like, you know, played a whole set worth of stuff, I was 14, I think. I did the jazz band stuff in school. We went and played some festival and then went to Wonderland. It was weird. That was like a sterile feeling because there was like nobody else in the room. It was just like adjudicators and us. And I don't know. It's a cool way to play music sometimes, but not the way I wanted to do it. I had a good time. The very first, like the band that I was a part of, it was like me and my homies. We were called These Dudes.
Nice.
Yeah. And we had a song that we opened every show with called We're These Dudes. And it would go like, We're These Dudes. And this song's called We're These Dudes. Mm-hmm. And we'd all like dress up in like suits and stuff, but we were playing like pop punk. I don't know.
Oh, it, we so were like sweaty. 16,
17. It was a blast, but honestly, I don't remember how playing the first show felt. I think it was one of those moments where you kind of black out, but you're like also, oh, nothing bad happened. Awesome. And it felt good. But I don't really remember it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Was that sweaty playing in suits on stage?
Oh, yeah. I would always take my shirt off.
Oh, I can't
imagine. I still always do that. Yeah. But yes.
Haven't lost that part.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Haven't lost that part.
No.
No.
Sometimes if I'm not getting sweaty. One time we played a show where I think there was a fan on stage, and I just forgot to take my shirt off because I wasn't sweaty.
Oh.
It was actually awesome.
Yeah,
we need to get a band fan.
A band fan.
Yeah,
we need more bands.
Yeah, literally, we just need like tower fans, industrial fans,
box fans,
bladeless fans.
There you go. Gotta invest in that.
Yeah.
Did you two both grow up in Hamilton?
No.
Nah, we grew up in the Belleville Trenton area.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what was the music scene like there growing up?
It was a lot of metal.
Yeah.
A lot of
hardcore, post-hardcore.
Post-hardcore. Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce, is it called? Gent,
yeah, degent, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of it was a lot of hardcore.
There were like a like literally you could count the number of like I guess like indie styled bands or like alternative rock kind of garagey stuff. You could count that all in one hand.
Totally. How would you compare it to the Hamilton music scene?
Well, from what I understand, I don't think there is a music scene there now anymore.
It's hard to say. I feel like you got to be a kid.
Yeah, but like I know there's people that have looked into playing there, and there's just like anybody who has played there, it's like, oh, they're coming from Kingston or they're coming from Toronto and stuff.
Because like Trent and Belleville, they're more retirement communities.
Okay.
So there isn't very much, there aren't pretty many outlets for young people. So it's kind of sparse out there for shows or live music in general. Hamilton is pretty cultural and there's a lot of live music. Hamilton is great for live music.
Yeah.
And it's very diverse.
Yeah.
Lots of rock, lots of whatever you want.
There's all sorts of rap, and there's like a bunch of like electronic stuff too. I'm always seeing posters for different things happening. It's like I had no idea these things existed.
Yeah, I'm very proud of what Hamilton has to offer music wise.
Yeah,
Speaking of the Hamilton music scene, who are some talented local artists that you think deserve more attention?
Oh, think that deserve more attention?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I don't want to leave anybody out. There's so many good bands.
Yeah. Not around anymore, but like I was a big fan of the Chris Power band. Chris Power. Maybe I'm a little biased because we worked with him before too, and he's
homie. And he's our good.
But yeah, like I love the crazy frantic energy. They're like I guess they're from Brantford, but it's so close to Hamilton. Sun Junkies. I went to a show and saw them, and they were just sick. Who else have we seen that like isn't already big? They're coming up, but like Chastity's super dope. I just can't think of anybody else off the top of my head right now. Oh,
likewise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing where there's so many people, you know, especially in Hamilton, so many great bands. It gets overwhelming and it kind of clouds your head and suddenly you can't think of anybody.
Yeah.
It happens like every time. Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to catch some sick bands, go and like, just go catch some music. If you're listening to this, go to the Casbah, go to Doors, go to or anywhere else for that matter. Let's do some things. Shout out to Falkers. I like Falkers. They got some stuff coming out. They're dope dudes. So
And if you guys, and like you can go big on this one, if you could collaborate with anybody, so your total dream collaborator. So Captain Wildchild make a single with whoever. Who would it be?
The guy that did Chocolate Rain.
Tay Zonde.
Tay Zonde.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. A good question. What do you think, Chad?
Living or dead? It's fine to say
either. Let's just say either.
Damn. Really refines it. Let's see here. yeah, this is a tough one. I don't know. I feel like Krangbin comes to mind. I think that would be a hilarious a collaboration.
That would be crazy. I would like to collaborate with anybody that we could do something different than we normally do. So like if we could do something softer with someone, or if we could do like a whole bunch of hip hop stuff, or like if we could do a country song that slapped,
is his name Orville Peck?
Orville Peck, yeah, doing a song with Orville Peck.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That would be great. I gotta take a look at my Apple library right now.
I don't know. I feel like those two are suitable.
Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse or Madlib.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like MF Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Wayne. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think more than anything, I want to collaborate with hip hop or rap artists.
Cool.
Yeah, more than anything.
Yeah. And are there any local artists that you think you can make something really cool with?
Cool artists.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we've talked to some friends of ours that are doing musical things. We're talking about, they're not necessarily super local to Hamilton. Mm-hmm. We're kind of in the middle of where the members are from, but Strawberry Cough, we talked about doing some kind of collaboration with them.
Mm-hmm.
But also we have collaborated with Chris Power in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And there's potential for more in the future.
Yeah, those are two things that we are seriously considering doing in the near future.
And if other people, you know, if people whose music we thought was interesting approached us and wanted to do something, I'm sure we'd love to consider that.
Yeah,
too.
We love mixing it up. So, but yeah, like Nigel said, there's lots of people here in Hamilton that are fantastic at what they do. And it's cool to get a different perspective from how other people write music. So,
mm-hmm.
And it usually ends up being totally different what either artist thought would happen, which is kind of an awesome thing about collaborating.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So everybody listening, we're just going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from Catherine Wildchild. Fantasy is the band's latest single about seeking an escape from negative thoughts and avoiding the problems we probably need to solve. Anybody just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air. I'm Sarah Jessica, and tonight I'm speaking with two-thirds of the Hamiltonian punk rock band Captain Wildchild, Nigel and Chad. We just came back from playing your most recent single, Fantasy. How long did it take to write that song?
I don't think that one took us very long.
It didn't take us crazy long. I feel like we wrote like the... We wrote half of it, I feel like, rather quickly. But it was kind of lingering around for a bit. Sam went on.
Check it out. We can be social too. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Indy1015FM.
I probably
smart, do ya? Just say, Alexa, play Indy 101.5.
Come back to me.